It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done him better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. That's Teddy Roosevelt, April 23rd, 1910. Over the years, I've experienced something many of you probably have too. People forming opinions about your life without ever asking what's really going on. They hear something, they see something, and they think they know the whole story. They assume a lot. Listen to me, guys. It is easy to criticize a battle you've never had to fight. It is easy to criticize a battle you've never had to fight. And today, we're going to talk about those critics and how to respond to them. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. Now here's your host, Jason George. Drop.
Get him, Jay.
Yo, yo, welcome to the Grizz Podcast. It's good to be back with you guys. Today is Wednesday, March 18th, 2026, when I'm recording this from the Grizz Cave here in North Carolina. And what the heck happened to the warm weather? Dude, it went from like 85 degrees to 30 degrees, and I am sick of the cold weather. But some of my friends up north, man, they got it worse. They got hit with major snow. Had a buddy named Tommy who sent me a pic, and he's out with his snowblower clearing his driveway. It's like 2 feet deep, and he's like, this is probably like the fourth time I've cleared my driveway. I was like, man, forget that. Anyway, today is like day 19 in the war with Iran. Let's continue to be praying that this conflict would end soon, for there to be peace in the Middle East, and for God to somehow use this for good to advance his kingdom. March Madness begins tonight. We are doing a March Madness challenge on CBS Sports website with first, second, and third place prizes, giving away some gift cards. If you're interested in joining that, hit me up, shoot me an email. My bracket is filled out. I picked a lot of upsets, but we shall see. I think tomorrow, Thursday, March 19th, by 12 p.m. Eastern time, it's closed. It's too late. So you got to get this done. So hopefully you guys listen to this episode and you're able to do it in time. This week's episode of the Grizz Podcast is sponsored by Stan Cruz. I know that sounds like a car dealership, but it's not. Stan has been a longtime listener of the Grizz Podcast, a supporter of our ministry, and a friend. Stan, I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you for standing with us and supporting the work we're doing to help encourage and equip Christian men around the world. Anyway, my brothers, it is time to rip into the meat of this week's episode. There's this thought I have that's just sitting in the crock pot of my mind lately, and it's been marinating, and I'm just going to unleash it on you guys right here this week, this episode. It's simple, but it carries a lot of weight. Here it is. It is easy to criticize a battle you've never had to fight. It is easy to criticize a battle you've never had to fight. Think about that for a moment, and I'm going to grab a sip of my coffee. You know, most criticism comes from people who have never carried the weight you're carrying. It's easy to sit in the bleachers of someone else's life and offer criticism. It's easy to form opinions about struggles that you've never personally carried. It's easy to assume things about someone's situation when you only see fragments of the story. But what's much harder is stepping down out of the bleachers and walking onto the battlefield with someone and saying, "I'm here, I got your back." Whether it's calling them, texting them, checking on them, praying with them, just asking the simple question, "Hey, are you okay?" Sadly, a lot of people would rather judge and gossip about someone's struggle than actually support them through it. This is especially hurtful when it comes from friends, family, the Christian community. And some of you have experienced this in your life. If you haven't, some of you will in due time. And one thing you learn as you get older is this. Dude, the bleachers are always full. There are always spectators, always commentators, always critics, always people with opinions about what someone else could have done better. And again, this is all from people who've never walked in those shoes. But very few people actually come down onto the battlefield. Very few people say something like, "Hey, I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm just here with you. Let me help carry the burden. Let me pray for you." The bleachers are always packed full of critics, but the battlefield is often lonely. You know, the Bible is full of commands about how believers are supposed to treat each other. They're often called the one another commands. And when you read through them, something becomes really obvious. The Christian life was never meant to be lived from the bleachers. It was meant to be lived shoulder to shoulder. Listen to some of these one another commands. John 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another." Galatians 6:2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Encourage one another and build each other up." James 5:16, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." Ephesians 4:2, "Be patient with one another." Colossians 3:13, "Forgive one another." 2 Corinthians 1:4, "Comfort one another." Galatians 5:13, "Serve one another." James 4:11, "Do not slander one another." And James 5:9, "Do not grumble against one another." Jeez, what if families did that? What if marriages did that? What if those who are friends did that? Think about this for a moment. None of those commands can be obeyed from a distance. You can't love one another from the bleachers. You can't carry someone's burden from the bleachers. You can't encourage someone you never speak to. You can't pray with someone that you refuse to even go listen and say, "Are you okay? What's going on? How can I pray?" Christian community was designed to be supportive, compassionate, humble, not critical, not gossipy, not judgmental. And yet so often what happens? People talk about someone instead of actually going to that person and talking to them. Or even better, talking to God about them. Let me say something that may sting a little. A lot of Christians spend more time talking to other people about someone's struggle than talking to God about that person and their struggle. Think about that. Like, you gossip about them. You analyze them. You speculate about their situation. You judge them. You look down on them. You ghost them. But rarely do we drop to our knees and say, Lord, help that man. Give him strength. Guide him through this. Made me think about James 1:19, where it says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. There's a reason God gave us one mouth and two ears. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Shut your mouth. But our culture flips that upside down. We are often quick to speak. We're quick to judge. We're quick to assume. And we're very slow to understand. We see this even throughout scriptures, man. These critics. Think of Job. Job lost everything, like total devastation. His wealth, his children, his health. His wife came to him and said, curse God and die. And what did his friends do? They sat around accusing him, assuming this all must be happening because he sinned, assuming it was all his fault, criticizing him, when in reality, they had no idea what God was doing behind the scenes. They had no idea of the spiritual warfare that was taking place that involved the devil himself. Then I thought of Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, the same people that he's leading out of slavery and into the promised land are the same people constantly criticizing and complaining about him. They criticized his leadership. They doubted his decisions. They grumbled. They disregarded the commands he gave them from God and turned back to idol worship. Then I thought of David. I've been reading through the Psalms again lately and how he's hunted down by King Saul for years, and he's forced to live like a fugitive. He endured criticism and misunderstanding from many people, yet he continued to trust God through the process. And then, of course, our greatest example is Jesus himself. He was constantly criticized. The Pharisees, these religious leaders, criticized him for healing on the Sabbath day. They criticized him for eating and drinking with sinners. They criticized him for not following their traditions. These people who were supposed to be the most spiritual spent their time constantly criticizing and slandering the Son of God who came to this earth to save them. That should tell us something, guys. If you're trying to follow Christ and you're facing criticism along the way, you're in good company. Sounds like to me you're on the narrow trail. You're going the right way. I love that passage in 1 Peter about how Christ responds to the critics, to the revilers, to those who insult him. And it shows us how we should respond as well. Let me read it to you. I think this is the New Living Translation. 1 Peter 2, verse 23 says this about Christ. And while being abusively insulted, he did not insult in return. While suffering, he did not threaten, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. I love that. I mean, all these people coming at him, abusively insulting him. And what does he do? He basically responds like this. My Father's got this. He will take care of me and he will take care of them. I leave it in his hands. He is in complete control of all of this. And guys, that's what we have to do so many times with how people treat us, what they say about us. We have to follow the example of Christ. History also has a lot to say about critics. I read to you earlier, you know, Teddy Roosevelt's speech, The Man in the Arena. It is not the critic who counts. Who cares about that guy? That's what he's saying. It's not the critic who counts. You want to know who gets the credit? Who gets the applause? It's the man who's actually in the arena. Not the man in the bleachers. The man in the arena. The man whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. He says, even if the guy fails, even if he loses, even if he gets his asphalt kicked, dude, I'd rather be that guy, he says, than those that are in the bleachers. He calls them, this is such a good description, those cold and timid souls who neither know, you know, the victory, nor do they know defeat. They don't know either one of those, what that's like. Like the thrill of victory or just that, that agony of defeat. They don't know any of that. They're just critics in the bleachers. Winston Churchill once said, "You'll never reach your destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks." Man, he has such a good way with words. Critics bark. They're just dogs. Dogs that bark. And what do leaders do? They just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. My response to the critics is, you're not worth my time or energy. Yeah, that's what so many of them want. They want my time. They want my energy. They want to go back and forth. They want me to be in their drama. They want me to play in their sandbox. I don't have time for your sandbox. Let them go. Here's another simple truth that we need to get. Criticism is easy. Getting a brother's back is difficult. But I say do hard things. Anyone can criticize. Very few people step into the battle and help someone who is struggling. And there was a time earlier in my Christian life when I did this. I criticized some people walking through battles I had never fought. I had opinions about situations I didn't understand. Looking back now, I realized something. I was young, I was dumb, I was spiritually immature. Life experience, trials, produces maturity, and maturity produces humility and compassion. Maturity produces the awareness that life is far more complicated than it appears from the outside. Oftentimes, life, it's a lot to carry. You know, I've talked with dozens of men this past week. Seriously, dozens of men. I've had conversations with them. Some are battling cancer, literally fighting for their life. Some have wives who are battling stage 4 cancer. Some are battling grief from the death of a parent. Some are battling major stress and anxiety. They're like, I can't sleep, and when I wake up, I feel like I'm in a panic attack. Some are battling depression. Some have a child. Talked to a guy this week whose child is suicidal and had to go not only to the hospital, but had to put her in an in-treatment facility. Talked to some this week who are crushed by the heartbreak of separation or divorce or losing access to their children. Some I talked to this week who are in a marriage where their wife is cold, distant, complaining, judgmental, but refuses to go to counseling to try to improve that relationship. I talked to guys this week who are crushed by disabilities and can't work the way that they want to work. And of course, every week I talk to guys, dozens of guys, who are battling addiction. These are all true stories. That's some of you that are listening. Many of these guys are not thriving. They're just trying to survive right now. Again, it's easy to criticize a battle you've never had to fight. When I say every man is fighting a battle you can't see, that's not just a cliche. That's reality, man. Many men carry these battles quietly, and they continue to show up for work. They show up for church. They continue to help others. Volunteer in a ministry, they continue to protect and provide, they keep going. But inside, they're carrying a weight most people never see. Most men are fighting battles they never even talk about. That's dangerous. Do not go solo, guys. I've endured some very harsh criticism from people who have no idea what the real facts are about my life. They hear something, they see something, they read something, and then they fill in the blanks with their own assumptions. They judge, they gossip, they criticize. Some people, they just disappear. They just ghost you. People who were supposed to have your back, people who you'd have their back in a heartbeat. Guys, I'm just saying that because I don't want a pity party. No self-pity. I don't have time for that. It does me no good. It does you no good. I just want you to know, I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like when people form opinions about your life without ever once picking up the phone to ask what's really going on, without ever sending a message, without ever saying like, hey man, are you okay? But I'll also say this, there have been a few people who did something very different. They reached out. They said, hey man, Jay, I don't know what all's going on. I'm not here to judge. I just want you to know I'm here for you. Are you okay? How can I pray for you? A few of them even said, I'm coming to see you because I know you must be hurting. And let me tell you something. That kind of support means more than words can ever describe. Because in difficult seasons, what most men often need, like most of all, is simply to know they're not alone. Never underestimate the power of just those simple things like a text message, a phone call, a handwritten card, a visit, a meal. Those small acts of kindness can mean everything to someone who's struggling. Sometimes those small gestures remind a man he's not alone. And sometimes that's the very thing that keeps him from throwing in the towel. My brothers, it is easy to criticize a battle you've never had to fight. Stop sitting with the critics in the bleachers. Get up and go help the man on the battlefield of life. That's biblical. That's manly. That's what you would want someone to do for you. We need to be brothers who walk beside one another. We listen, we encourage, we pray, we support, we speak the truth in love, we carry burdens together. And sometimes the most Christ-like thing you can do is simply reach out and say, brother, I don't know what to say, but I'm here for you. And I'll listen and I'll pray for you. Because a lot of stuff I'm going through, nobody's going to fully understand. And they don't know what to say. That's okay. Just being there, listening, letting me vent, praying for me. I mean, if you got something to say that's of value, say it. But man, that's gold. And guys, as I'm talking about this, if someone comes to mind right now, don't wait. Send the text message. Pull your truck over right now, put it in park, and send that text message. Make that phone call. Stop by their house or work. Because that small act of brotherhood might be exactly what keeps someone climbing today. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, so many Christian men are on the brink of doing something stupid because they feel overwhelmed by life and they feel all alone and they don't think it's ever going to get better. Been there. Stop thinking that real quote-unquote ministry is something done up on a stage of a church on Sunday morning. My brothers, real ministry is the stuff behind the scenes in the nasty, smelly trenches of life. I'm just being real with you guys. This is what's been on my heart. Stay tuned for a few closing items of Grizz Biz. Hey, first of all, if this episode encouraged you, copy the link and share it with a friend or your men's group who might need to hear it. And if God has used this podcast in your life, don't just consume, contribute. The Grizz Podcast is an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries, a nonprofit helping men pursue freedom, brotherhood, and growth rooted in Christ. And if you'd like to support what we're doing, go to our website, narrowtrail.com, click on our give page, or simply text the word give to 301-888-6860. Second, wherever you're listening, hit the subscribe button and leave us a quick rating and review. That helps more men discover this podcast. Third, we have opened up a new opportunity for individuals, businesses, or ministries to sponsor an episode of the Grizz Podcast. For $75, you can sponsor an episode and receive a 60 to 90 second shout out on the show. Plus, your name or business will be listed in the episode show notes and across all our podcast platforms and social media. We are also doing a bundle deal where you can sponsor multiple episodes. If you're interested in that, just email me at jason@narrowtrail.com and I'll send you the details. And one last thing, guys, if you're struggling with sexual purity, check out our climb teams. These are online small groups where Christian men pursue freedom together with biblical guidance, accountability, and support. Go to narrowtrail.com, click on the climb team page to learn more. And also, Covenant Eyes, get it on all of your devices and on your kids' devices to protect and monitor all of their online activity. It is one of the wisest investments you can make. Go to covenanteyes.com, sign up, and use the promo code GRIZZIN, G-R-I-Z-Z-I-N, GRIZZIN, to get your first month completely free. Protect yourself before you wreck yourself. Thanks for listening, my brothers. Grizz is out.